One preacher got a little impatient when he told people to stand up and shake hands with somebody, and they kept shaking hands, and he wanted to go on, you know, and he said, I told you to shake hands, not hold hands. But we Pentecostals, you know, we shake everybody's hand, and we hold their hands, and we just love everybody. Guess what? Charlie Tubbs is going to be baptized tonight. Amen. And we're so happy to have his mother here for this once-in-a-lifetime doing it right occasion. Praise the Lord. And so just for a few minutes, I do want to refer to my Principles of Church Life study number 3, baptism. I want Charlie to know as much as I can in this short a time about baptism, what it's all about. Maybe you've had several Bible studies on it, but let me just say a few words on it too. And then we have the Ullums here, who I think were the first ones baptized in Jesus' name in 1998. Is that right? You were in 1998. First ones. Okay. Brother and Sister Ullum, can you stand a minute and just let us remember who you are? Aren't you glad they're here? They were baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you stand too? And then I want to ask Charlie to stand so everybody knows who he is. Charlie Tubbs. This is the handsome young 19-year-old man we're talking about here. God bless you. Did you receive the Holy Ghost yet? No, not yet, but almost. And let's expect the Spirit to fall in the baptismal tank. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I see when he made the decision to be baptized, I see his countenance change. Honestly, I did. I saw his countenance change. God bless you. You can be seated. So we want to talk about baptism tonight, and then we can, everybody that's not been baptized in Jesus' name, you just consider this while we're talking tonight. First of all, we believe in baptism by immersion. That's under the water, holy wet, in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And I'm going to try to hurry, so I'll probably talk fast. And I want to get to those waters. Praise the Lord. I think they're already run, almost. Why did John the Baptist baptize in Enon near to Salem? The Bible says there was much water there. Now, that's why he baptized by immersion. Listen to it. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Doesn't that sound to you like he dipped them? He put them under the water? In what manner would you say Jesus was baptized? I would say that he was baptized by immersion. The reason I say that is the Bible says in Matthew 3:16. Now you know John 3:16 learned Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Went up straightway out of the water. He was down in the water and he came up out of the water. Pretty hard to do with a teaspoonful. Went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened. Amen. Mark 1:10 says, straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. Jesus certainly was baptized by immersion. In what manner does it appear that the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized? I would say he was baptized by immersion. Acts 8:38 says, we know Acts 2:38. Let's learn Acts 8:38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What does the word baptize mean? The word baptize is a Greek word, baptizo, and it means to make whelmed, to make fully wet. Webster says it is whelm means to submerge, cover, or engulf, to overpower or crush, overwhelm. The Greek word for immersion is baptizo, and never confuse baptizo with rantizo. Rantizo is the word for sprinkling, and never once is the word rantizo used with reference to Christian baptism. We prove that by the Holy Scriptures, Hebrews 9:13, 19:21, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Never, never, never. I have looked up every reference. The word rantizo is never used for Christian baptism, water baptism. Amen. What does water baptism represent? I believe water baptism is proven to represent our burial with Jesus Christ. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. You and I are baptized, and we rise. We are dead because we repent of our sins, and then we're immersed in water, and then we receive the Holy Ghost, death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, Romans 6:4 says, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Water baptism represents our burial with Christ. When are people normally buried? In the flesh, in the body, so they don't smell bad and corrupt and see putrefaction. Genesis 23:4 says, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. That's what burial is. We put them in the water, not out of sight because the water's clear, but we put them totally under and there is nothing exposed. People are buried after they die. Okay, so what must precede? What must precede water baptism? The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus doesn't give any hope for anybody that's not baptized. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. No use getting baptized. I think that water baptism must be preceded by faith, because that's what the Bible says. And okay, another one, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when you say, what must precede water baptism? You have to say repentance of sin, because repentance represents death. Therefore, we are baptized after repentance. We go to the burial waters. Amen. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I'm telling you what must precede water baptism. Faith in the gospel, repentance of sin. And now Philip said to the eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe this thing with all your heart. This is not something that you do and say, well, nothing else has worked. My Valium didn't work, and my drugs didn't work, and my dope didn't work, and my cigarettes, and my beer, my whiskey, all my wine and drunks didn't work. And so I think I'll try baptism because you people down there are so happy. No, that's not what it is. You got to believe with all your heart, not in something that's going to make you better, but in the Son of God who will make you better. Praise the Lord. So Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So Philip the evangelist called for a total commitment from the Ethiopian eunuch before he baptized him. Amen. Why is it unscriptural to baptize babies? It is totally unscriptural to baptize babies. There is no scripture in the Bible that tells us to baptize babies. In the first place, how in the world can a baby believe, which is a prerequisite for being baptized in Jesus' name? How in the world can a baby repent of his sins or her sins and be baptized in Jesus' name? Can't do it. It's impossible. The child doesn't have the sense, the ability, the capability, the mental capability to have faith in God. And that child certainly doesn't know that it's done anything wrong. It still doesn't think throwing its bottle is wrong. Still doesn't think that. How in the world can a baby repent? Okay, I'm telling you why it's unscriptural to baptize babies. I said, name at least two very serious problems caused by baptizing infants. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It imposes grandchildren on God. God doesn't have any grandchildren, friend. All he's got is children, the sons of God. Amen. And if you force or you take a baby that doesn't understand, a baby that doesn't have faith in God and hasn't repented of its sins, you are forcing grandchildren on God. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You have to believe in God. A baby can't believe. I repeat myself. And so what you have then is a church full of baptized unbelievers. We know many of people that belong to churches, nice edifices that they occupy, but they've been baptized according to their leadership, according to their doctrine, but they don't even believe in God. So you have baptized unbelievers. The best thing to do, folks, is wait till you come to the age of accountability. Get your child up here at this altar, repent of his sins, her sins, and come down, receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name, or be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, I can explain that later. The reason they become unevangelizable, just go to one of their funerals. You can see they think they're already saved. So-and-so, this drunk, this dope head, this fornicator, this adulterer was baptized in the church. And so surely we've seen it, and it just hurts me, because the truth is being withheld from people. People need to know that you're not saved because you get wet or because you have a little water sprinkled on you, or even if you're immersed. That's not how you're saved. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So this is a very serious situation. Seldom do you hear the born again experience preached where infant baptism is practiced. You hear me? Seldom do you hear the born again experience preached where infant baptism is practiced. Go and hear. I have done my visiting. Amen. It is estimated that 85% of all criminals have been subjected to infant baptism. I wonder how many pews are occupied by baptized unbelievers. Tradition. What does the word tradition mean? Theology. Among Jews, the unwritten religious code and doctrine regarded as handed down from Moses. Among Christians, the unwritten teaching regarded as handed down from Jesus and the apostles. Among Muslims, the sayings and acts attributed to Muhammad, not in the Quran, but orally transmitted. Aren't you glad you got the written word of God tonight? Praise the Lord, and you don't have to go by tradition. Somebody said, I heard Jesus say this. No, I heard him say this. Well, the loudest mouth will win, I suppose, and then everybody has to believe it. Oh, no, we got the book. We got the Holy Bible, and I love my Bible. Amen. So what happens to the commandments of God when false traditions are kept? Jesus answered them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. All they wanted to do was get by without giving their money. And honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own condition, your own tradition. I want you to know that the commandment of God is right here in this book. We have a standard, praise the Lord. We have the master plan right here. And the Bible says you must be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So the commandments of God are broken because people are keeping a church denominational tradition. We cannot bypass or circumvent the Word of God. Why is it so important to be established in the Word of God by strong teaching? And I pray to God that I will always be a strong teacher so that we will always have strong saints. They tell me that sermonettes develop Christianettes. You know, you've heard that before. And we don't want that. We want real Christians and real sermons. Amen. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried away about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Did you hear that? Beware, Paul says, lest any man strip you, spoil you, rob you, that word means. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So why is it so important to be established in the Word of God by strong teaching? To prevent deception. Millions are deceived today. We could preach on that. What should our attitude toward baptism be? Acts 2:41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Baptism is for those who gladly receive the word of God, who reject the words of men and the knowledge and the wisdom of this world, to take the wisdom of God to heart.
They gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We'd be happy tonight to have three baptisms. 3,000 souls. A man named Bruce told me of another man who prayed that God would send someone to baptize him in Jesus' name. God sent a man, and the only water that was available was a mud puddle in the middle of the street. And this man welcomed the opportunity. Yet we can't beg some folks hard enough to get baptized in clean, pure water. Amen. Whew. Just thinking about how they used to baptize. Chop the ice. Chop a hole in the ice. Go down in the water. But honey, I honestly believe that that water on 430 Water Street on that tank was just as cold as ice. January 28th, wasn't I baptized January 12th? And in Jesus' name on 430 Water Street, a 12-year-old boy, it was cold. It was cold. Were you baptized in that tank, Brother Sister Steinhauer? Yeah, was it in the summer? You're smart. Praise the Lord. December, it was cold, wasn't it? They didn't have the heater hanging down there or anything. No, it was cold in July, I'll bet. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, my wife talked about 222 Chipper Street and 522 Chipper Street, and it just brought back old memories for me, you know. And as God would have it, I was born on 715 Chipper Street. Praise the Lord. I think there's a Holy Ghost connection there. Amen. Some people can't do enough for the Lord, and other people feel that almost anything they're asked to do is too inconvenient for them, you know. A friend of mine told me about a perfectly healthy woman who wanted to be a Christian and did make a start for the Lord. When she was confronted with water baptism by immersion, she refused, saying, "It is too inconvenient." June 10, 1979, we baptized a man in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a big, handsome, well-built, muscular, football stock, the world would say, man. Through the fervent prayers of Christian relatives, and some of you are here tonight. Praise the Lord. You remember all that, don't you, Brother Don Grant? You can explain it to anybody that wants to know. Through the fervent prayers of Christian relatives, and you were one of them, and friends, his life was spared after having been involved in a serious automobile accident. He was left paralyzed from the chest down. He responded to the gospel message, came to church several times, then requested water baptism. What a scene! And what a contrast to the proud woman who said, "It is too inconvenient." This paralyzed man rolled his way, it's the old church, up to the front of the church in his wheelchair, then was carried up the steps and into the dressing room where he removed his catheter and his colostomy apparatus. Strong men lifted him over the baptismal side of the baptismal tank and set him on a milk stool in the water, and then I baptized him. I think it would be safe to say that the whole procedure was inconvenient. My mind went back to the words of Jesus. "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it." And I thought, is this man who was obedient to the command to believe and be baptized going to be called forth on judgment day as a witness against the perfectly healthy who refused water baptism on the grounds of inconvenience? Think about that. So, my answer is humble, glad, willing obedience to the commandments of God with a joyous and thankful heart and an attitude of gratitude. Praise the Lord. The water will be ready for you tonight who have never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who left us an example that we should follow his steps? Jesus. He is our prime example. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." He is our example, and he was baptized. Amen. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded water baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And by no means do we avoid this scripture verse. And by no means do we explain it away. Friend, we've got the revelation of Matthew 28:19. And it is a powerful revelation. It is the revelation of the name. "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." That's Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I ask us, why then do we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Peter said on the day of Pentecost, and by the way, Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, and he did not retract them. Peter had those keys. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 8:16 says, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10:48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 19:5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The question is, why then do we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is, because that's the way the apostles baptized. You see, Jesus never wrote a thing that's in print today. We don't have the epistle of Jesus. We don't have a book of Jesus. He trusted other men to do this. His apostles. And if you haven't had a study in apostolic authority, I'll touch on it right now. Praise God. That's the way the apostles baptized. Now, I want you to know something. Some people say, I'll take the words of Jesus. I don't want to take the words of Peter or Paul or somebody else. I want the words of Jesus. Aren't you something? You don't know your Bible. I don't know if you've ever read your Bible. Listen to this. When we hear those whom Jesus appointed, who are we hearing? Say it again. Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Jesus said in Luke 10:16, he that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. That's strong stuff. That's apostolic authority, friend. Amen. Through whose word did Jesus say we would believe on him? Listen to this. Jesus said in John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's apostolic authority. Praise God. So it's the apostles' word, the answer. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, apostles, not us, not me, not the preacher downtown or over in Texas. No. The apostles, friend, this is apostolic authority. Don't you become an apostle unto yourself. Don't you think that you have the authority to write the word of God. Oh, no, you don't. It's already written, lest we go astray by some character who comes along and thinking that they're holier than everybody else and more spiritual than everybody else. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us apostles, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. I love that. Amen. Apostolic authority. Describe the foundation upon which the church of Jesus Christ is built. Listen, the church stands or falls on what the apostles did. And they baptized in Jesus' name. They didn't baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They baptized by immersion in water in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Listen, the Bible says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord. Cornerstone. That means basic, essential, most important part. Amen. So the answer is, the church's foundation is comprised of the apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Did Peter stand alone when he preached and gave instructions on the day of Pentecost? The Bible says then Peter stood, you know, and he quoted Acts 2:38. He preached his whole sermon and quoted said Acts 2:38. Then it said, but listen, did Peter stand alone? Was anybody in agreement with him? Or did he just stand alone and take a chance on the other apostles stoning him? But Peter, standing up with the 11, they all stood for it. They all stood up. Praise God. And I hope, hey, if you're with me tonight, if you're with the Word of God that I'm teaching tonight, would you stand up? Praise the Lord. That's all right if you don't. That's all right if you don't. Don't do it. Amen. Okay, God bless you. You may be seated. Now we know who the false ones are. Hallelujah. They all stood up. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Amen. All the apostles stood up with Peter. What authority do the apostles have? Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we, the apostles, have preached, let him be accursed. That's apostolic authority. That takes away all of our authority when it comes to rewriting the Word of God or giving our interpretation to the Word of God, which is different than the apostles' interpretation. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Jesus himself confirmed the words of the apostles that he appointed. God did not leave the apostles' words unconfirmed. Amen. That's apostolic authority. Where did Paul get his authority to baptize in Jesus' name? Acts 9:15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Bear his name. Preach his name. Spread his name. Amen. Not a doctrine of a trinity, but a oneness. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength, all your mind. Praise the Lord. So where did Paul get his authority to baptize in Jesus' name? Jesus spoke to Ananias, and the authority came from Jesus himself. To whom did Jesus appear after his resurrection? And why? Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to whom give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen. How can we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? 1 John 4:6. We are of God. We who? Anybody can say. Why? I mean, the Lutherans can say it. The Catholics can say it. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the Baptists. Some lady or some gentleman here tonight can say it. We are of God. Well, that's not it. We, the apostles, are of God. Listen. He that knoweth God heareth us. Anybody can walk around and say, I'm of God, hear me. Baloney. I wouldn't listen to somebody else that said we're of God and they're not living right. Huh. Even if they were living right. And they got some false teaching or some false doctrine. We are of God. That's apostles. He that knoweth God heareth us. Not me, us apostles. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Brother, if it's not in here, you're not obligated to believe it. But if it's in here, we believe it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We can know the spirit of truth if we hear the apostles, and we fall into error when we hear any other than the apostles. And they, the Bible says, Acts 2:42, after the 3,000 received the Holy Ghost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, not in their own theories, not in their own opinions, not in their own little house meeting, prayer meeting, or whatever, without apostolic teaching and apostolic authority. Praise the Lord. Explain the mystery of Jesus' identity. Who is he? Was he just a man? Was he only a great teacher? Or was he the second person of a trinity of persons? Matthew 16:17, and Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen to this. If you don't think that the oneness of God is a revelation, listen to this. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And no man knows who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. If you don't have the revelation of the oneness, get it. Hallelujah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Who is called the Mighty God? Jesus Christ. The Everlasting Father. Who is the Everlasting Father? Jesus Christ. Who's the Mighty God? Jesus Christ. Who's the Everlasting Father? Jesus Christ. Who's the Mighty God? Who's the Everlasting Father? Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, holy, sinless. Praise God. Amen. And the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you something, folks. If you believe in a one world government before Jesus comes, let me just help myself. One world government without peace on earth, without the Prince of Peace? Come on, tickle me again. Oh, my, my. Everybody's scared. They've been trying to have one world government since Babel. Hallelujah. Better listen to this. Amen. Hallelujah. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, not the second person of the Holy Trinity, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and went up to glory. And he's coming back again. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. See, with the mystery of the Trinity, you can't understand the Trinity. Billy Graham, I remember, threw up his hands, and I love Billy Graham. He started talking about the Trinity, and he threw up his hands, and he said, "Don't ask me to explain it. I can't." And I was shouting at the radio, "I can, I can. Give me your microphone. We can explain it right now. We will explain it." Praise the Lord. God was in Christ. God wasn't separate from Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Does Matthew 28:19 say, baptizing them in the names, plural, or name, singular? Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. And that's synoptic with Matthew and Mark. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you get that? None other name, 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 one name, and that name is Jesus. What is that name? She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 1:25 of Matthew, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Praise the Lord. What name did Jesus come in? Jesus said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name. I am come in my Father's name. What's the Father's name? Hallelujah. Figure it out. And knew her not till she brought forth the firstborn son. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Somebody said, how come you oneness people pray to Jesus? Well, I said, well, no, how come you oneness people don't pray to God? Don't pray to the Father? How come you, that's what it is. How come you oneness people don't pray to the Father? How come your church doesn't pray to the Father? Well, I had to answer him. I said, we do. We just happen to know his name. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's real. It's true. It's the Word of God. This is crucial. How did the apostles interpret Matthew 28:19? Hear this. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. That's how he interpreted it. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how he interpreted it. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That's how he interpreted it. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how they interpreted it. They interpreted baptism the words of Jesus, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, they interpreted that to be in Jesus' name. No, listen to this. Some people have said, I'll take the words of Jesus over the words of the apostles. I repeat Luke 10:16, he that heareth you heareth me. Okay? They heard Jesus. You and I didn't hear him. They heard him. Is that enough? Or do you want him to come down and tell it to you so you can believe it? He ain't going to do it. Praise the Lord. Okay? Matthew 28:19 was not spoken to me. And it wasn't spoken to the Catholic Church. It wasn't spoken to the Lutheran Church. And it wasn't spoken to the Pentecostal Church. It was not spoken to anybody but those 11 apostles. And the apostles heard the words recorded in Matthew 28:19 from Jesus' own lips. And we read what Jesus told those 11 apostles. Where then do I get the authority to choose who is right? Jesus or the apostles? Where do I get the authority to choose who's right? Jesus or the apostles? There, I am in disagreement with Jesus when I disagree with his chosen, holy, authoritative apostles. So we got to put this thing together. What those who insist upon baptism in the titles are really saying is, I'll take my interpretation of Jesus' words over the apostles' interpretation of Jesus' words. Hey, folks, we got a choice. We can interpret Matthew 28:19, or we can let the apostles interpret Matthew 28:19. Well, that ought to make somebody jump, run, dance, shout, lift their hands, clap. Praise God. Amen. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one... You got that. When people insist upon being baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they're taking their interpretation of Matthew 28:19 over the apostles' interpretation of Matthew 28:19. I think that's such a blessed revelation. That's a blessed truth. They have rejected apostolic authority. They're saying Jesus is right and the apostles are wrong. If the apostles are wrong, the whole church is crumbling. The whole church will fall. It'll fail. It stands or falls on that foundation. Amen. So it's not a question of who is right, Jesus or the apostles. It's a question of who is right, the apostles or me. Amen. We're just putting it straight. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church first apostles. Okay. Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, we can't bypass the apostles, friend. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. We're not bypassing the apostles. We know that Jesus gave the apostles authority. Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same promise and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's us, and that's Paul's apostolic authority. My point is, God made his revelation known to his holy apostles and prophets. They in turn recorded them, wrote them down, and it's our responsibility to believe and act on it. Hello? Amen? Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Can't we believe what's written? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know, we ought to sing, I'm so glad that I've been buried. Let's do it. Amen. Okay, didn't Jesus repeatedly say, it is written, it is written, it is written? And we thrive on those words. We overcome by those words. We say them when we're in a trial or a temptation. Devil, it is written. Why don't we take everything that's written? Amen. Some people say, I mean, some people, they'll pray over their food in Jesus' name. They'll cast out devils in Jesus' name. They'll pray for the sick in Jesus' name. But refuse to be baptized in Jesus' name. Why don't we go all the way and do it in Jesus' name? Praise the Lord. If anybody has any questions, the Bible has answers, and I'd be happy to talk with you. But right now, we want Brother Charlie to get ready for water baptism. Is there anybody else that would like to be baptized?